Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you to our sponsors, Mindful Chef, to whom we are very grateful for their support. Mindful Chef make healthy eating easy. You'll find delicious, healthy recipes, high in protein, with no stodgy carbs, refined sugars, or artificial anything. All of their meals are high in good fibre, thank the good Lord, the kind your gut loves, and are easy to prepare. In fact, a whopping 94% of their customers say that Mindful Chef makes healthy eating easier for them. I mean, the other 6%, goodness knows what is going on with them. Perhaps they're the sort of people that just don't follow instructions. For heaven's sake, people, get a grip. Now, there are 20 new recipes to choose from each week that are completely flexible. It's all delivered to your door. There are no tie-ins or other commitments. You don't have to invite them in and say, oh, no, you must eat with me. You brought it all this way. That's absolutely fine. They're not expecting it. In fact, if anything, they're commitment phobes. Just healthy food with no supermarket queues. And you can get 25% off your first four boxes by signing up and using the code MIDDLEPLEASE, all one word. Hello and welcome to Middle Please Umpire. We are back after a, I don't know if you'd call it a hiatus, a reading week. How are you, Woody?
I'm all right. I think the term is knocked out would be the term that we were looking for.
Yes, we started recording some, didn't we? And then we actually felt that it was wise if you concentrated on the on England's campaign and in the 50 over World Cup in India. I didn't catch much of it myself. How did it go?
Can't remember. I blanked it from my memory.
Yeah, fair dues.
It's all a blur.
And everything's been reset now. Listen, it's just before Christmas when we're recording this. It's after Christmas when you're listening to this, or indeed at some point in the future. You're off on tour. I'm off on tour. Tell me about yours.
I've just been reading lines, trying to get it right. maybe singing the odd song.
Breathing steam, a lot of stretching.
A lot of lemon and ginger. What about you? What have you been doing?
A lot of weights. A lot of really long, just working, I suppose, a lot of core strength. But again, a lot of what I do, it's about just visualization. Because you think, I need to know exactly what I know. I want to have a plan when I get to the top of my mark. And I just, I've said this once, I've said it a million times. It's about really hitting the right areas and and executing my skills. And I think that is, yeah. I hope we're doing this the right way around, but I think that will work, really.
Will you analyse and review?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I spend a lot of time... Well, of course, I need a lot of physio. I spend a lot of time with the data guys. I have got a massive backroom staff.
To take with you on tour?
Big bags, yeah. You, of course, probably it's quite similar. It's just you and a tour manager. All you ask for is an ironing board and an iron, maybe a couple of bottles of water.
Yeah, and my step ones because of... But you know what? I'm going to turn it round today.
Your step ones?
I've decided to chafe today.
I'm not so wearing... You're not wearing...
Negative press. Every press is good press. I'm not wearing them today. I want to chafe. I want to feel the pain. I want to realize that I need it to get better.
If you don't lose sometimes, there's no joy in winning.
Exactly.
You're like, who appreciates? If you've been living chafe-free for 3 years, as I imagine you have now, Woody, suddenly you're like, well, I've forgotten what that was like. You've forgotten that it's a luxury to not be chafed.
Exactly.
I am going off on tour, Woody, and I'm going to go to Newcastle at some point. So I'd like
That's
your...
near me.
It is near you. It's not where near where you'll be at the time. You'll be in India having presumably physio. I will be...
Wow.
But you need to have physio. I want you to have physio, Woody. I don't want you only to have physio. I want you to have physio before you go out there and
take
another...
We've had a little break, and I feel like it's affected you.
No, physio is an important part of what you do, isn't it?
Is it not more important that I try and Belfast and take weight, or...?
Oh, yeah, no, that's extremely important. But isn't physio an important part of your recovery after bowling fast and your preparation for bowling fast again? I've been having a bit of physio recently, and this guy I'd gone to see about my back and my shoulder, and he'd given me an exercise regimen, and I was doing absolute heap of squats. And then I went in and he was doing something with my legs. I said, why does that really hurt? And he said, it's because presumably the first time you've used these muscles for ages, of course it hurts.
Did you do anything called cat camels?
That's arching, and then the other one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cat camels.
Just like the name cat camel. Whenever someone says to me cat camel, I don't know, I like it.
Have you met someone called cat camel? Like a girl, she's called Catherine.
And no, I do.
No, but if you did, would you just be delighted? Would you be instinctively drawn to them as a person?
I would drop on the floor and start giving the old arch your back, lower your back.
We ought to do some sort of add-on content in which you do sort of exercise classes exclusively for Middle Please Umpire subscribers. And you have a sort of morning... You'd be so good at that, because I imagine you wake up quite early because of your energy levels. Breakfast TV, you know, like when sort of that Joe Wicks thing during lockdown or the old days, you know, Mr. Motivator or whatever, that's probably before your time. But to have a sort of... For the day to start with an exercise class led by Mark Wood, I mean, could you heal Britain's divisions, I suppose? I don't want to run before we can walk, but I do wonder if that sort of thing would help. Everyone just sort of heard your lilting voice, but the way that it sort of contrasts against your actually high energy, I think it just puts people in an interesting mental space.
We did a thing recently with the ECB where we had to answer questions, who would you not want to room with on tour, who would you not want on a sat-nav? And them two answers, a lot of the lads said me.
They wouldn't want you on it. They wouldn't want to room with you, and they wouldn't
want to room with us. Well, I get that, but wouldn't want my voice on the sat nav.
Okay, we get that. That's fine. We can all see that would be absolutely hell. Yeah, that's fine. But the sat nav. Oh, I'd absolutely love to have your voice on my sat nav.
I mean, I could mix it up. I don't have to just.
As long as you're giving the correct directions, as long as you're taking it seriously enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to get
miles.
stuck down a gulch, and you're going, I'm going, well, this is ridiculous. Why is he taking me down there? And then you'd say, ha, 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 you have fallen for my trap, or whatever. That would be infuriating. Oh, I think I think you'd be a good sat-nav voice.
Thank you.
We've all got a plan for the future.
Wasn't Nathan, should we bring Nathan in now?
Oh, yeah, Nathan.
He did have something to tell.
Morning, Nathan.
I was going to tell you a story earlier, but... You forced me on to do it on air. Here we go. I had a very close shave with a driving related close shave with a cricketer in a petrol station, which I think would have been extraordinary.
Oh, I love this. Is good.
So let me tell you about it. It was yesterday morning at the Asda petrol station, local to me in Hertfordshire.
Great people, great prices.
Good prices. Yep. I was pumping my tyre. I had a slightly flat tyre, so there I was on one knee, staring over a bonnet as you wait the 30 seconds for the little noise. And filling up the car petrol was a gentleman in full Middlesex gear. So hat, jumper, jacket, and the giveaway shorts. Because, you know, who wears shorts in December? It's either sports people, gardeners, or lunatics. So I'd gone with the sports person. So my luck, the light bulb came on. I immediately looked for what was out front that I could present as a gift. And I saw winter fuel, bags of winter fuel, which I thought would be perfect. So I ran over, had a bag of winter fuel in hand, and I thought, well, I'll just sort of you know, I'll cut him off as he heads into pay for his petrol, and I'll explain that I'm not mad, and this is what it's, would you mind a photo?
Always start conversations by telling people you're not mad. It is absolute, because it puts people at ease, doesn't it? I'm not mad! Hello. I'm a good fan, big fan of the narrative arc of the King of the Good King Wenceslas hymn, and I thought you could hither stand by me while we while we put fuel together.
So I'm there, I'm kind of waiting, and he finishes petrol, puts the pump away, and I think, right, this is the moment, like, prepare what you're going to say and everything else. And he got in the car and drove off. He paid at the pump.
Oh.
And I'm going to say, I was at sort of 10, you know, 20 feet away, peering over a bonnet, but I think it was either Mark Stoneman or...
Woody would be able to recognise Stoney from that distance. What's your other option?
Or someone completely, I don't know. I think it could be an under 16 coach that I've never, you know, that's nobody. But they were informed.
Describe Mark. Describe what he looked like.
Well, he looked a bit like Mark Stoneman, like sort of, sort of fair hair, fairish hair, stubbly beard. I've obviously been through the Middlesex site, and I've done my research.
But you've not given me a lot there, so I'm going to go with yes, it is Mark Stoneman.
Why don't you text him, Woody, and ask does he buy his fuel in Asda? In Hertfordshire.
I wanted to share it because I think it had been an incredible arc to have met a cricketer in a petrol station.
And presented them with a bag of coal.
Actually presented it. I'm not sure we could have carried on at that point. That might have been the
beginning and end of the friendship all in a one-er. But it would be, beautifully circuitous.
Yeah. So, sorry, I can't come with better news, but it was a close shave.
Because I still regret, and this is the whole, that my sorry anecdote that started these shenanigans, I still regret not actually saying something to Joe Root other than, well played, Rooty, about a match that I'd not been at and didn't know the score of. I wish that I'd actually said something to him at the time. Because he's a nice fellow, isn't he, Woody? I could have said, how are you? You know, we could have had a perfectly decent chat.
You could have went, hey, Joe, I'm not mad.
Here's a bird table and some fuel. I've brought you a grab bag of Doritos.
I can confirm it was not Mark Stoneman.
Oh my God! And is he weirded out? Did you start the text? I'm not mad.
No.
Well, are you a Middlesex cricketer who occasionally buys petrol in an Asda?
Wearing shorts in the winter.
Asda in Hampshire. I saw someone wearing shorts on the high street when I was with my wife the other day, and I said instinctively, "Gosh, should I say something to him?" Because I thought that seems an odd thing to do. It's been very chilly. We're living at the moment in a house with no central heating, so I'm quite sensitive to temperature. But I said instinctively what I wanted to do was say, are you all right? Do you know, he's got shorts on. Seems completely demented. My friend Jeremy Hardy, sadly no longer with us, I once walked into the green room for an episode of the News Quiz wearing what I thought were a perfectly reasonable, dressed perfectly reasonably. And he looked me up and down and he went, do you know you're wearing those trousers? That wasn't a big enough laugh, Woody. That'll have to be edited out. It was almost, it was like polite laughter, like theatre laughter. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, we get that. Yes, we get all the jokes in Shakespeare. Yes, my wife and I, we come to the theatre quite often, even if we don't like what's happening. We always laugh slightly if we know it's meant to be a joke, even if it isn't actually funny. Yes, and if we do it loud enough, then people behind us will think, gosh, they're clever. And we are, you know, my wife and I are very clever, both recently retired doctors.
I need to know, have you done any other Christmas adverts?
Any other Christmas adverts? No. The bagless vacuum one is not a specifically Christmas. It will be on over Christmas, I think. My friend, Chris, is the, he is the, have you seen the Tesco Christmas advert?
No.
He is, well... Woody, you would love it. It's a man who loves Christmas so much that he basically turns into a Christmas tree.
Wow.
And he's very jolly in it. He is the face of Tesco at Christmas. And he showed me the advert, and then after it started being on, he was like, oh no, he goes to Tesco in Walthamstow. He's been there every day pretty much, he says, for the last 20 years. And he walked in thinking, oh no, they're all going to. Nobody in Tesco recognised the face of Tesco wandering around Tesco.
And you would have thought every little bit helps.
every little.
Ah, did I get it wrong? No.
Yeah, it's every little helps.
That's why I'm not as professional as you. You see, you do all these things and you're just ultra professional.
I think I once did some Tesco Mobile voiceovers, and I had to say the phrase "Every little helps," and it was oddly. Oh, it was like, it's in the advertising, that's like saying in music, be the food of love, or to be or not to be, you know, it's right up there.
Is there any scope for freedom? So every little helps, you know, go, every little helps, or do you have to stick to the...
Well, those ones, you need to stick the, not only does the phrase exist, but because it's been done before, there's already a sort of an accepted meaning, isn't it? So if you're saying, have a break, have a Kit Kat, you've got to sort of say it in the way people are expecting you to say it, not leave a sort of really long pause between kit and cat or whatever.
Can you have a different tone, though? Have a break.
You've got to say it in a sort of relaxing way. You can't say have a break in the same way that you'd say tiredness kills. It's got to be sort of quite. It's got to be quite jolly. Very quickly, what is the? Can you remember? Let's go through them now, because this is the sort of thing that's important. People don't want to hear about cricket World Cups or me doing a national stand-up tour. They want to hear whether or not Woody can remember the mottos. Or is it called a motto? What would you call it? Like the tagline to different. Slogan? So Tesco's is slogan. Slogan. There we are. Tesco
every little
is
helps.
Every little helps. Asda.
Buy green, buy fuel.
No, isn't it pocket the difference? Is that Asda? Morrison's. Can you remember Morrison's?
If I'm not there, see my son, Maury.
I have a particular set of skills. No, it's I have more reasons to shop at Morrison's. Do you know what the one for Waitrose is?
This is very expensive. Shop here.
No, it is just the word avoid. Now then, you recently featured in a big article in The Telegraph, put together by people that know what they're like. What do you know what number, in terms of the best cricketers in Britain right now, 30 made the list, almost enough for England to be playing in three different tournaments concurrently. 30 made the list. Do you know where you featured on that list, Woody?
I'll go with in the squad, but not in the... We were like 16. I've met the 16.
You are so far out, Woody. You're third.
On a list, well, the third team, so the third 11.
No, the third best cricketer in England.
I mean, that's a lie,
Britain,
isn't it?
At the moment. Is it a lie? I think that's a bit of an unpleasant accusation, Woody. These people, they deal in facts. That's their jobs, you know.
Well, I'm definitely not the third. Well, what's the third what? What's the title?
Right, okay, look, Nathan sent me the link. Here it is. Here we go, right? It's the 30 best men's cricketers in Britain right now, okay?
30 best men's
cricketers in Britain right now. Number three, Mark Wood, who plays for Durham in England. Another outstanding year with the bat.
No way.
No, sorry, I've read down to Joe Root one. Imagine if you're batting. That innings at Headingley has propelled Woody to other. No, that is the no. An outstanding Ashes show how Wood's blistering pace can be too much even for the world's best. Little wonder that England awarded him a 3-year central contract.
I mean, that's lovely. Whoever's written it to say that, but I'm not quite sure that's true. I think there's a lot better cricketers than me.
You're ridiculously modest, but you've had. We can't pretend it's not an up and down year. But if you actually sit back and look at the highlights of your year, let's do. What are you looking forward to head to this year? And your highlights from the year just gone, 2024. Talk us through it, Woody. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I think you've got to be number one. It's got to be the World Cup, the 2020. You know, things haven't gone quite well for me or the team in the recent World Cup, so a chance to right some wrongs. And at times I felt in the World Cup I almost maybe tried too hard, and I just didn't bowl well enough, which is annoying, but hurt me for a week after. I remember when I got home, when you're there, you sort of think like, right, that's a bowl poorly, what can I do better? Analyse it, right, next game, I'm going to try and do this. And you think about the next game. But then when it finishes and you've got nothing else to be, like, right, it's the next game, or what will I do different? You just sort of reflect. And I remember the first week at home, I was like, I just remember I kept constantly would just be sitting there and I would find myself tutting, like going, and then shaking my head and thinking, why did I do that? Or why did I bowl that? Or why didn't that go right? It really hurt, you know. I think that was the first week, especially being home, it was painful.
Did you receive any gifts through the post that cheered you up?
I did, yes.
What did you get?
Was that from you?
Yeah.
A box of Prairie Rocheres?
Yeah. I'll tell you why, because
Thank you so much. I didn't know. I didn't see who it was from.
No, I couldn't see a tag to put that bit on. There was one. I had one on my desk during a recording once. You said, oh, save that for me. So I did. And then Rachel went, oh, saw a Ferrero Rocher, lovely. And I said, that's Woody. So I thought, actually, he could probably deal with a few more right now. So no, that was for me, but I couldn't.
Oh, thank you. That was lovely.
I sort of thought you'd guess. Otherwise, you'd have been like completely unmarked chocolate coming through the post and you had no idea who it was from.
I'll be honest with you, by the time I got them opened, I completely forgot that they were a gift. I just started smashing them in and, I instantly felt better.
So that's helped you bounce back. Do you, so when you're going, like, obviously all of us over our lives, you know, every now and then you wake up 4 a.m. and say, why did I say that thing when I was 10 that was very ungrateful or whatever? Is that the same then with cricket? You lie in bed going, why did I, you know, I could have just bowled my stock ball at that particular moment, or?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, my dad, so I spoke to my dad after one of the games. I think it was Australia, and I actually thought I'd bowled okay in that game. I'd gone for 70 off 10 overs, got a couple of wickets, but now it was one of them games where loads of stuff landed in gaps, and it felt like I could have had 4 or 5 wickets. I had Cameron Green on, I felt like on the ropes at one point, but then my dad, as soon as I mentioned the word Cameron Green, my dad went, oh, didn't talk to me about him. I says, why, what happened? He said, well, you bowled up the few balls where, you know, you pushed him back, he spewed one up in the air, it just landed short, then he clothed one just short of mid-wicket. And I'm thinking, right, Mark, Yorker now, bowl Yorker, Yorkum. And I bowled it short and wide, and he hit us for 4. My dad says he threw the controls at the telly, knocked the telly off.
Really?
Yeah. So,
Has he got a temper, your dad? He seems like
not really. I think it was just frustration like everybody else. I mean, I kicked the turf. I'm sure plenty of other people at home threw the controls as well. But that was just summed up my whole sort of tournament. I'd bowled fairly quickly. At times I thought I'd actually bowled all right, but I wasn't consistent enough to do well. And that was the real frustration. The things I can reflect on the last year, which have gone well, obviously, Ashes went really well.
Oh, very quickly, Woody. Could you remember what Budgeon's slogan is?
Budgeon's?
Yeah.
We take up trousers so that you feel good.
It's actually great produce.
Oh, no, that's Budgies.
It's actually great produce. The fresher, the better. Carry on. You were talking about cricket or something?
Yeah. And then, so the thing I'm...
You know what Farm Foods is? Farm Foods.
With a moo and an oink.
Great food at amazing prices.
Oh, okay.
Carry on. Nope.
Yeah, so the things I'm probably looking and reflect on. Ashes, obviously.
Iceland, the power of frozen. Yeah, carry on.
The Pakistan tour went really well.
Oh, man, that was incredible, Woody. That was very good. It's easy to forget amidst the sort of, you know, the sort of noise of a World Cup. But that was, it, sort of in terms of historical sporting precedent for an English men's team to go over there and do that. Absolutely remarkable.
Yep. And then obviously 2020 World Cup in Australia was the winter, like just before Pakistan, and I got my first 5 at the IBL Ashes. So that all went well. Wait a minute. What are you looking forward to? I'm saying, why is it all me? What are you looking forward to? And what are you pleased with the last year? Have you worked on some offies? Maybe some leggies? What about a googly?
I have achieved very little in cricket this year, apart from being an All-Stars activator. Cricket highlight of the year was England player Mark Wood leaping the hoardings to give me a hug at Sapphire Gardens, or the Swalek, or maybe it's called something else now. Done some all right work this year. Did quite a long costume drama called Belgravia, the next chapter.
Didn't you do a major film or something?
Oh, I'm in Napoleon.
Hey, there it is.
I'm in that. But that was last year or the year before last now. Yeah.
Yes, but it's just come out. Let's promote it.
Yeah. That was good fun. And I'm going, as I said, I'm doing this stand-up tour this year. So that is my main focus at the moment, is getting that in shape and getting ready to hit the road. Starts on the 11th of January at the Epsom Playhouse.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends.
For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But you know, some of the players, like often when we play for England, we'll have like a speaker or like a boombox kind of thing, and we play songs when we're netting and stuff and when we're training. Do you listen to songs before you go, or while you're on tour, or when you before you go out? Like, is it like Rocky IV? Like, no, there's no easy way out when you're preparing to go on, or is it more like, sprinkling down the meadow of the lane?
Yeah, I listened to Gilbert and Sullivan for like 90 minutes while skipping. That's all right, isn't it? Well, I choose the house, the music that's going to play in the house. It's got the house music, so it plays in the theatre, and then it comes through the sort of relay into the dressing room. So when you're choosing that, you're partly choosing, oh, what'd be a nice sort of upbeat thing to listen to while you're waiting for the show to start.
You mean you don't have like a live orchestra like Lord of the Rings?
No, should I, do you think?
100%. I would go watch that. Everyone.
Just sort of underscoring me while I talk.
Why don't you just start now and I will do it underneath.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's very nice to be back in Corby. Gosh, there's quite a lot of roundabouts here, aren't there? Anyway, thanks very much for coming out. I really appreciate it. I know January can be a bit of a gloomy month.
Dun, dun, dun.
So hopefully we can all have a good time together. But honestly, I really do appreciate it. You know, cost of living crisis and what have you. I know it's quite a lot to sort of dip into pockets and leave the house and come out and see someone like me. Simple crash. I am so jumpy. I just think, like when I went to the World Cup final and I was sitting with those bloody things that keep releasing fire. The boundary countback thing, I was well aware of how many boundaries there'd been because it was the number of times I'd shat myself in the course of the day. They just keep going off, those things, and I never could remember they were there. And each time they jumped, if I was doing some sort of live show that was underscored by percussion, and there was to be a sort of cymbal crash every now and then, I would completely lose it every time. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to this year, I suppose. We are grateful to the lovely people at Spond for supporting this series of Middle Please Umpire. Spond is the UK's number one sports management app that will save you hours of valuable time when organising your team. Let's hear from one happy cricket club.
Hi, guys. Jonathan Speller here, director of Wimbledon Cricket Club. We've now been using Spond at Wimbledon Cricket Club for several years, and it's been an invaluable resource for our club. The addition of the availability feature has been extremely valuable in ensuring we have the right players on the park and a fair distribution of matches for our juniors. Our coaches find Spond an incredibly helpful tool to communicate directly with players prior to training sessions, enabling them to run efficient and targeted practice sessions. Spond brings our club together as one club, supporting us on administration, freeing up our time to deliver our programs with excellence.
Spond is available on iOS and Android and is free. Download the Spond app and try it for your team or club today.
Tonight at 6, the mailbag.
Shall we have a look at the mailbag? There's a producer's update here. Danny Seal wrote in about Phil Salt and his dog. He has contacted us to confirm that I have been confused with the mention of carrying cuddly dogs in toy shops. the dog being carried was cuddly, but also real.
See, you give me such a hard time.
You were right. I did. Danny, I apologise. I apologise for, I suppose, associating.
I told you, the dog was tired. That carried him round because of his
needed
the loving.
Am I? Why of all people me to associate the word cuddly with being a toy? It's a very real characteristic for many of us. I think he and his dog were probably on their way back from a portraiture studio where they were one of those things when you're dressed up as old Wild West people. And they're like, you get a sepia photo. And then, and the dog was going, do you know what? That was so undignified. You're going to have to carry me. You must have a number for Phil Salt. You can ring him and ask him what the hell was going on. It was the Arndale Centre, wasn't it?
Yeah, Arndale. Let's continue. And as
Arndale,
we continue,
Airedale, let's call the whole thing off. Right. So anyway, I'm really sorry, Danny, for misinterpreting that. Whilst I apologise, we may never have discovered Mark Puppy without this error. So I guess everything happens for a reason. Another serious question for Woody. Well, if you've serious questions, you've picked one of the most serious men in sport. This is from Andrew Heathfield. Good morning, gentlemen. It's 25 past four where I am. Never mind, Andrew. As an avid listener to your humorous podcastical broadcasts, I'm not sure whether this is allowed, but I'd like to ask a serious question of Woody. It's often said that you're a different bowler since you lengthened your run-up. How much did you lengthen it by? And was that your idea or a coach? And why does it make such a difference? How do you decide how long to run for? Why do good things happen to bad people? No, that's, I've added that. As someone who's just finished a homemade hot dog whilst watching... As someone who's just finished a homemade hot dog whilst watching you bat, I'm thinking that more than four paces just looks like hard work. So, Woody, there's a lot of questions there, so we'll take it one by one. How much did you lengthen it by?
So my old run-up was 51 or 52 little steps. That is now about 57 and a half steps back. But I would probably...
So what's that, about 5 feet?
I'm not sure. But then when I get back, I'd be probably another 5 or 6 yards back, or 7 yards back, and then run onto my run-up, whereas I used to have that sort of stop-start run-up.
Okay.
And the reason I lengthened it was, one, for more momentum to get the crease, two...
But was it your idea? Was it your idea or the coach or a coach's idea?
It was a bit of both, to be brutally honest. I was struggling with injury a lot. Michael Holden had given some advice.
Oh, of course.
And a couple of my coaches, Kevin Shine at the time, Alan Walker and Neil Killeen at Durham, they had all suggested, like, when I'd mentioned it to them, they were like, look, I think that's a good idea. I'm really glad, obviously, I did it, but just that extra little bit. And the reason I went to the short one is so I didn't meander in. When I was a kid, I used to run in straight, jump out wide, and then dip in. So it was a bit of an S shape. Whereas now, because I got used to that straighter run up, I'm used to running in straight, which allows me to go, you know, towards the target, keeps everything behind the ball, which allows me to bowl quicker. But I start on the circle, and the circle's a 30-metre circle. So I reckon it must be around about 30 metres.
So in an over, you sprint, unless there's wides or no balls, you sprint 180 metres every over. And if you bowl, what's the maximum that you'd bowl in a day, Woody? Overs? 9?
25 overs.
Okay, let's say 25. 25 times 180, that is 4.5 kilometres of sprinting. Bloody hell. Well, do keep up the good work, he says. That is a lot.
No, the maths aren't right. I could see a face there. No, that can't be right.
Well, okay, if you bowled 25 overs, that would be what it is. God, no wonder you're knackered.
I've bowled 25 overs in a day before. Also, I have news.
Oh, yeah?
Phil Salt has responded to me via text.
Have you texted him whilst we've been doing this?
Yes.
Right, very good. What's he said?
I will read out the conversation. Why were you carrying a dog around the Arndale Centre in your arms? You've been spotted. Because I do these things. He was my best pal. Was the dog tired? So did he need a cuddle? Now they're not allowed in there. I said to security that I would just carry him. So if you carry him, that's okay. Why? Who saw me? I didn't do anything illegal. Phil's now panicking that the dog situation is going to get him in trouble.
Yeah, no. Please reassure him. He has not broken any laws of the land. He's not under suspicion. Or we could go the other way and you could say, I think it is illegal, mate.
I've gone with you or the dog is a big question. You can go free.
Yeah, only one of them will be locked up, him or the dog. Yeah. And
That's
Phil Salt. Better. Phil Salt can decide whether it's him or the dog.
Only one of you may walk freely outside in the open air with a stick in your mouth.
It's you.
Which one that is, you decide.
Is he joking when he, in that tone, or is that him? Have you angered him?
I'm not sure. He sent me a picture of the dog with a really cute face. So I don't know if that means that he's trying to make me feel.
Oh yeah, no, you couldn't let that dog be banged up. I'm afraid Phil Salt will have to serve time for this. So anyway, we sort of answered Andrew Heathfield's questions there, and then suddenly the whole thing was derailed by a paranoid episode featuring Phil Salt. Ask him what the dog's name is, and we can have a shout out. The dog will need podcasts to listen to in prison.
Right, Billy. The dog's name's Billy. Okay, King Billy.
Free Billy. Okay, this is from Andrew Beasley. Here's a sweet story which might make you smile. My wife's father was a lifelong cricket fan, supporting Lancashire and England. In his final years, he spent time in a care home with dementia. Sometimes he'd recognise family when they visited, but not always. On one occasion, his son went to visit and he asked him, "Are you Michael Atherton?" While he's played cricket with Brian May, Michael Atherton, he is not. But he went along with it anyway. Since discovering Miles' deep love for Athers, we now assume that he too will end his days hoping for a visit from the great man. My wife and I love the show. We can't wait for the new series. Thank you very much, Andrew. That's very kind. Very sweet story as well. And how very decent of his son to go along with it. He's a bit older than me, Athers, but maybe I wouldn't, you know. I may still need to be visited to him by in some sort of care home. This next one is from Graham Webster, under the title Fibbers at the Gabba. Hello, lads. In April 1989, I was staying with my mate Halsey in Brisbane. We'd both played together in Devon, UK, for Totnes Cricket Club, and we noticed there was a four-day match at the Gabba featuring Worcestershire, whose team consisted of the likes of Dilly, Hick, Neil, Rhodes, and, of course, Lord IT Botham. Off we go to the Gabba on day one. I decided that we should be able to get in through the members' entrance on the pretext that I was a member of Somerset and members of other cricket clubs had reciprocal rights to other grounds. I showed my Somerset pass, which was really a used one-day ticket from the previous season as I wasn't a Somerset member at all, and to my surprise they let us in. Unfortunately, that time of year is cyclone season, and even before the start of play there was a tropical storm which delayed the start. Of course, we had to repair to the bar for lunchtime libations with some members we'd met. The rain carried on and so did we, not realising that the day's play had long been abandoned. By now, a few of the players had come in for a snifter or two, and the fun carried on. When it was time to leave, we decided to meet again tomorrow for day two. We entered again past the now smiling security with a cheery wave, but again the weather wasn't helpful, so the pattern of the day subsided into the previous debacle. On a roll, we were certainly not going to miss out on day three. There's bound to be play today, said Halsey. However, the Gabba's drainage system at the time wasn't what it is now. No play. At this stage, we were dear old pals with a few of the players as well as the staff, so we wandered around the ground into the dressing rooms, bloody hell, where we saw Botham and Border ensconced in front of the small TV on the wall of the dressing room betting on the races. It was decided to revert to a one-innings match on the final day, and we were told to bring dress clothes as there was to be a barbecue after play that night on the outfield, and we were invited. This has spiralled out of all control. During the day's play, for some unknown reason, the visitors didn't bat very well at all and failed to reach 100. After the game, we sat around the outfield enjoying the official barbecue. I looked around at the faces, and on the next table, Botham and Dilly were chatting away to Greg Ritchie and Craig McDermott. They were then joined by none other than Jeff Thompson. I would love to have got a few photos, however, we were well past the stage of being onlookers. By now, some of the Queensland officials had taken it for granted that we were part of the visiting party. And it looked even better when the captain of Worcester, Phil Neal, sat with us chatting away. After a while, he asked me how long I'd been on Queensland's books. When I owned up and explained that Queensland thought I was with Worcester, he laughed his head off and plonked another round of beer on the table. He must have let on, though, as I later received an invite from Castlemaine, sponsor of the Australian team, to join them for a day at Edgbaston in July of that year, whereas I was wined and dined on the sponsor's bus. Luckily, the weather wasn't great again. This is from Nebby. This is from Webby, never of Worcestershire or Queensland. That is a fantastic bit of fibbing there. Very well done.
I'm impressed, actually.
Yeah, please do write in if you've been able to blag your way into any cricketing arenas or environments that perhaps you weren't entitled to. Other open categories include ridiculous cricket journeys, cricketers in petrol stations or in everyday settings, nothing illegal after the Phil Salt jail debacle. quirky... He won't be cross, will he?
No, he's good.
He's good, OK. Cricketers at petrol stations or in everyday settings, such as the Arndale Centre, carrying a dog. It's not against the law, it's just a convention. Quirky grounds, amusing injuries, best or worst games, and indeed notable nicknames.
Hi, it's David Gower here. Yes, it's me. Look, it's slightly embarrassing, but look, Mark and Miles, they've forgotten the email address again. So look, if you've got any cricketing tales, stories, whatever it might be you want to send to them, please email them at middleplease@hotmail.com. And if that's too much, well, try Twitter or Instagram.
Can you remember who? Because we did this interview 7 weeks ago, and we really felt we needed to stop the podcast because one of us, not saying who, was going at about 12 and over. So we just it was really about the best way of focusing going forward. But we had a very nice chat with a very, very fine left arm bowler who, at the time, was just coming back from injury.
They are an ambassador for some of the, quite frankly, the most comfortable underwear that you or I have ever worn, together or separately. Step one.
Oh, it's Tash Farron.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Middle Please Umpire is again delighted to be sponsored by Step One Underwear, the UK's choice for comfortable, breathable and no-chafe boxers. We have been sent some Step One Underwear, have we not, Mark? Separately rather than together?
Yes.
I now exclusively wear them.
I actually do wear them as well. I think they're great for both casual or training. I've worn them at cricket as well.
Have you played whilst wearing a pair of Step Ones?
Yes, I have.
That might be the most exciting thing I've ever heard. I've certainly worn some whilst attending some sort of all-you-can-eat buffet. I can report that they are gloriously chafe-free. Do you know why they eliminate chafing, Mark?
Why?
It's because they've got something called ultra-glide panels. They are ethically made using organic bamboo. That is why they're super soft, but also why they're antibacterial. They're suitable for men and women. They're worn by cricketers the world over, as Mark can attest. Do you know the bags they come in are compostable as well? Now, do you have a compost heap, Mark? Compost pile in your garden?
No.
I tell you what, we'll collect up your ones and just post them to me and we'll pop them on ours, because actually we make very good use of the compost. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee on your first purchase, so you can try them out completely risk-free. For a limited time, you can get 15% off the entire range just because you listen to this podcast. Head to step1.life and enter the code MP15 at checkout. Well, welcome to Middle Plays Empire, Tash Farrant. Hello, Tash.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be here.
Oh, well, it's nice to have a fellow, pant ambassador, I suppose. You're part of the Step One Brigade. I hope you're as comfortable as we are. Firstly, where are you and how are you, Tash?
I'm just at in my flat in London. I've just come back from a nice little break in Cornwall. Had my deload week. I'm good. I'm recovering from back surgery. So I'm actually very excited because I'm getting to start bowling on Mondays. All good, thank you.
Is it very then your rehab, as it were? Is it very finely organised? Have you already got very strict instructions in a way as to what, when you go back and you start bowling, are you like, right, I can bowl two overs at once, or I've got, you know, like Woody has, sort of he bowls three deliveries and then has 4 hours of physio and then it slowly starts.
I have seen Woody quite a bit in the, which probably doesn't show well for me, but I've seen him quite a bit in the Loughborough physio room, probably more a couple of years ago. But it's good to see him over his injury troubles, which is good.
Thanks, Tash. See, man, seems supportive. You say that straight away. You, unlike you.
I can't talk because I've been injured a lot over the last couple of years. So
I'm capable of no athleticism whatsoever, Woody. So any sort of slightly snide remarks I made are from a position of utter admiration or jealousy, depending on my mood.
I think the key question here, Miles, is what is Tash like with that anaesthetic? Because obviously it affects me very badly.
Well, I'm actually so annoyed because I've obviously seen your hilarious video, and they didn't film me when I was coming. I think it was coming out of the anaesthetic, out of the surgery. I was so annoyed at my mum because I think apparently I was absolutely hilarious. I was thinking I could maybe sort of challenge your. Apparently, I was trying to get up and I'm saying I'm ready to bowl. Definitely wasn't. So I'm so upset that no one filmed it for me. I think they were all being very well behaved, which is really annoying. But so I think the anaesthetic got me. I'm only a small human, so I think it got me quite good, to be honest. But my rehab is quite organised, I guess. I'm someone who wants to be quite involved in the whole sort of structuring of it. I don't like to sort of be exactly told what to do, so I like to be involved in the stuff that I can be.
As you should be. I think that's perfect for people like listening. That I think that's the perfect way to be from someone that's had a lot of injuries as well. Because if you like follow it rigidly from injury to injury, I've had sometimes I'm like, no, I didn't feel like that's right. I didn't think that's right for me. Or you get a good feeling. I think somewhere in the middle is right. You listen to expertise, but also you do your own little bit as well, don't you? Where it's a fine balance where you've got to get it right.
Yeah, I think it takes a long time to sort of get to know your body. I think obviously injuries aren't good, but they do help you learn about your body. And because I've had two sort of stress fractures in a row now, and it's funny actually, I knew that I had another one, but I sort of at the beginning of the summer, you just know what it feels like, you just know within your gut. And I do think you have to go what the sort of medical people say, but you do have to go on your gut as well, because you're the person that knows the most about yourself.
What age actually did you take, did you start playing cricket? Because you were born in Greece, is that right?
Yeah, I was born in Greece, not the biggest cricket nation over there.
They play it in Corfu.
Do they?
Corfu, yeah, Corfu Town has a cricket club, yeah.
Well, I didn't get in there when I only lived there for about a year of my life anyway. Oh, right. And then moved around a bit. And then lived in Singapore for quite a while. And then, so when I came to England, I think I was 8. So then I actually went to a trial day for Kent, and I didn't actually know it was a cricket trial. I'd never played for my life, but I played tennis and all the other sports. And then I just ended up getting into Kent under 11s, not ever having picked up a cricket bat. I think I just ran around like a mad woman and just chucking balls. And
did you get in as a batter?
I don't really know what I got in as, because I never played cricket before. I think I was just probably quite a good athlete playing other sports. So I've always predominantly been a bowler, but not sure what happened to my batting, because it did used to be a top order batter, but then it's slightly gone downhill from there.
I picture you bowling around the wicket almost more than over the wicket, Tash. Is that statistically correct?
I think I would say I would always want to err on over the wicket, because I've predominantly played more T20. So in the women's game, you have one less fielder on the boundary. So you only can have four fielders on the boundary. so almost as a left armer over the wickets. I could bowl a lot at the death as well, just open up sort of more angles. So I always want to bowl over the wicket, but there's almost, you don't have that one extra fielder on the boundary. So I have predominantly in T20 cricket made, you know, come round the wicket just to close up sort of areas, and you're able to contain a little bit more. But, you know, that's what I sort of was experimenting with after my first rehab, you know, looking at the likes of Sam Curran and all the left arm seamers around the world playing franchise cricket. It seems like a lot of the left armers are trying to use their angle more and stay over the wicket for as long as they can. So it's something I'll definitely look to do. I'd obviously like to bowl over the wicket when I have the new ball, and hopefully can play a bit more longer format cricket, which might create a few more opportunities for that as well.
This might be a bit sort of naive of me, but can a left armer learn from watching a right armer, say, just in a mirrored position, in the same way that, I don't know, when Broad started bowling around the wicket a lot, can you look at that as a left armer and think, right, well, this is... there's loads here that I can use tactically bowling to right-handers, as presumably predominantly would be.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why not. I think obviously you lean towards the people that, you know, do what you do. So obviously I do look at left armers probably a little bit more, but, you know, in terms of that Broad situation, I could bowl around the wicket, and if I can get my outswinger going, then that's going to be sort of the same mirrored effect. So definitely kind of, I think you just kind of look. I always look at someone like Trent Bolt or Sam Curran, for example. There's not that many. There hasn't been that many left-arm seamers in the women's game, sort of, if you look back. So, yeah, you do just kind of look at those guys and what they're doing, and they're playing so much cricket now. And obviously the women's game is, you know, mirroring the men's game as well, with the bats being so much more powerful now. So, yeah, I think you just look at bowlers that... I'm quite a skiddy bowler, so that's probably why I look at those sort of two. And yeah, but you're always going to... I watch so much cricket. I'm a massive cricket badger, so just looking at all the bowlers and...
Also, that's the thing with skiddiness. I don't really see how it can stop being surprising, because skiddiness is, as you know, there's as much variability to the extent of skiddiness as there is to kind of lateral movement.
Yeah, I think so. I guess you always keep the stumps in play. I'm quite short as well. I think I went through a stage... sort of in my career when I was like, oh, I wish I was taller, etc. I wish I had the attributes of a taller bowler, a bit more, bit of pace, more bounce. But you have to get comfortable with who you are. And I guess, you know, if you're a skiddy bowler, then you keep the stumps in play more. You can get sort of different types of dismissals, and you're having to almost be a little bit more skillful if I, you know, haven't got the pace and the bounce. So, you know, working on the slur balls, and so you have to be comfortable with who you are and work with what you've got.
Now that you've got a chance to come back, I know that obviously that's a big ball for you. Are you going to work on any other slow balls? Are you going to just try and get back the rhythm? Do you have to change your action at all? Is that what you're going to be working on coming back?
Yeah, so I've got a few bits that I want to sort of work more on my run-up. I think I've always... the analogy that I use, I want to take the handbrake off a little bit in my run-up. I think, you know, I'm having to learn to trust my body again. So really just try and run in with a little bit more momentum, just get a bit more ball speed. I think if I keep my ball speed up, that's when I get later swing. That's when my slur balls are more effective. Just sort of everything is more effective, to be honest. So I think more looking at the run-up, and there's a few little bits in my action that I'm going to tinker with, but I'm not going to massively change it. I think in terms of the slur balls, I was looking at something when I was coming back the first time round. Just, I want a really effective slur ball in the power play. So I want to make sure I have a slur ball that keeps the seam up. It still might swing into the right-handed batter. So that's something that I'm going to look at. And I also think Yorkers, I think they went out, I think like the men's game, they went out a little bit of the women's game as well. But I think they're kind of coming back in now. And I don't think there's a specialist Yorker bowler. So that's something that I've been wanting to do for quite a while. Do you feel like... sort of a caged animal at the moment? I'm just ready to be let loose. I just want to be back out there.
Because also with the England, the women's team, I speak to Woody about this a lot, the sense that I always think that the women's team always just looks so sort of happy together, and so much that sense of really being able to enjoy each other's success. Is that, I mean, in terms of as a thing, as an, well, one, I hope I'm right about that, but secondly, in terms of an environment about being excited about being back in, it must be tremendous to think, gosh, I'm going to be returning to that world really soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the men's is the same. I think in the women's game, I've been in the England setup for 10 years now. Quite a funny career. I haven't played as much as I've wanted to. I've probably got about 100 drinks caps, but me and Danny Hazel used to joke about that.
Well, Woody as well. We talk a lot about Woody's hydrate, you know, the amount of hydrating that Woody's been responsible of in international fixtures over the years. It's a very important part of the game. It
is. Absolutely. Yeah, I think the environment is really good. I think, you know, when I started, we weren't professional, but the way we acted was professional, but we weren't sort of getting the plaudits. You know, we weren't getting paid well, we weren't getting the crowds, etc. So I think we've always, you know, as a women's England squad, I think we always want to try and hold on to why we play the game. And because we didn't start playing the game because we thought that we'd have an amazing career out of it. It's just because we love the game. We love being part of the team. And obviously now there's more franchise. There's a lot more exposure. There's lots more money with all these different leagues around the world now. I think as a squad, we do always try and speak about, you know, why did we start playing? You know, we've got to remember the girls that played before us, and you know, they didn't get any of the exposure, they didn't get any financial rewards, but they just played because they loved the game. They had other jobs, they were, you know, tackling a lot of difficult things in the game. So I think we try and hold on to that as much as possible. Sometimes it's hard, especially for the new girls that are coming in, and they're coming into this amazing sort of career, and you know, that's how it should be. I think, you know, we always try and remember that. And I think that always creates a really good environment around the squad.
I think then to be in that environment and go somewhere like, I mean, have you played in India at all before, for internationally?
Yeah, I have. I'm really jealous of the guys, actually, because I went to Dharamshala about, gosh, I can't remember, 7 or 8 years ago. And it is actually, it's probably the most amazing place I've ever been to. The ground. And then during that time, we probably didn't get big crowds, but when we went to India, we did. And I just remember thinking the whole village has come to the ground to watch us, and the noise. But it was a different kind of noise. It wasn't like intimidating. It was kind of like a family sort of affair. I don't know what you thought, Woody.
Totally agree.
I'm very jealous of the lads being, yeah, well, having been there.
I think that's probably one of my, I've never been there before, and it would be definitely in my top three now of grounds and everything. It was honestly amazing to look up at the mountains. It almost didn't look real. It was like an old Western like screen that they put up. And I was like, well, that actually is the mountains next to the ground. And I know what you mean about the atmosphere as well. It's like they just want everybody to do well. They just want you there. They're like, they kind of believe you're there and enjoying it and stuff. So yeah, I totally agree with that. Dharamshala, absolutely beautiful. I want to ask Tash what it's like, or how confusing it is to have two John Lewis's in the setup.
So confused.
I've obviously worked with both.
And they're both spelt the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're great. They're great coaches, that, you know, both of them. And obviously, John Lewis, the head coach, Louis. I actually have him in my phone as John Louis Lewis. I'm not really sure why, to be honest, but I feel like I can't change it now. They've just both been a breath of fresh air. But, I mean, what are the chances?
Yeah.
They're spelled the same as well. I think people get so confused. My mum, I don't think my mum quite has grasped that there's two John Lewis's. I think she just thinks that it's just one. But,
We called the Durham, well, he's from Essex, but we called the Durham John Lewis Judge. So I hope that, you know, the judge and the Louis.
It has stuck. I think because, you know, the Durham John Lewis Judgey came first. So, you know, we were able to call him John Lewis. But then, obviously, when the big boss John Lewis arrived, that's when the carnage sort of started.
Does one of them have an H in the John?
No, both. Neither of them.
That is exactly the same. That's very confusing. Yeah.
I could see it's troubling you, actually, Miles, now. I could see
I'm thinking about it. Well, I'm thinking even like John Lewis, the shop, they were like, I think we should call one of them Peter Jones, otherwise people will get confused. And I think that's a kind of, you've got to be practical about it. So one of them, the one with an out and H, which could be either of them, I went to Dubai with years ago to do a thing for the Taverners, and he was great.
What, John Lewis or John Lewis?
The middle one. We shared a golf buggy back to a hotel after a quiet evening, but he was, he was a lot of fun, actually. And I always remember those wickets he took in 05 in the T20 against Australia.
Oh, that John Lewis. Sorry, I was kidding. I thought you meant the other John Lewis.
We just got it. Yeah.
him and the mighty Goff and the role they played in 05, often forgotten.
Have you enjoyed working with them both, Tash? Obviously, they're very different.
Yeah, massively. I guess I haven't been in the setup loads since
Louis.
Head coach John Lewis has Louis has turned up. So, but yeah, I mean, he's been a breath of fresh air. He just wants us to, obviously he came from your setup as well. He's probably brought a little bit in from that to our setup, and he just wants us to play with freedom. I think he always says something sort of live in your shoes. Like, he wants us just to enjoy the moment. I think we might have slightly lost that a little bit. You know, as we were becoming more professional, I think sort of more media and everything became, felt a little bit more under pressure. But I think he wants to just make sure that, you know, we're enjoying what we do, you know, being with the team. So he's been a breath of fresh air. And then Judgy, yeah, he's great. The batters absolutely love him. But what I like about him is that, you know, us bowlers, he wants us, he, you know, you can tell that he really wants us to improve as well. He knows that every single person has got to do a job for the team. So, yeah, they've both been great. The coaching staff have been brilliant.
I loved working with Judge. Absolutely loved it. He was someone that, even though you were a bowler, he put so much effort into your batting. Like, he would give you time, throw at you for hours.
Mm.
It was great technically. I really loved working with Judge.
But because there's another cricketer with the nickname Judge, it doesn't actually clear things up that much.
Do you mean John Lewis? No, he's called Louis.
No, because Robin Smith is the judge. Or is John Lewis just judge? There's no definite article. There must be better ways of distinguishing between these people.
He hasn't got the. It's just judge.
Otherwise, people like me, older people, people for whom life is less clear and obvious, with less of a path mapped out for us. It's very confusing. He should have it. If, in the same way that Baz doesn't make sense as a way of shortening Brendan, I think giving someone a nickname that somebody's already had, it's like they're being too creep, you know, like Zach and John.
So who are you talking about? John Lewis or Robin Smith? I'm now confused.
This is like being John Malkovich. It's just completely baffling. I was going to say, with the fact that you've been in England set up for 10 years, obviously the enormous, you know, improvements in terms of pay and profile and all that. Presumably, there's the downsides as well, which with all of the benefits must come at, I suppose, a feeling of increased pressure. Then you're just talking there about the sort of the pressure to always improve. But is there a flip side to all the great things that have happened to the women's game in the last 10 years?
Yeah, I guess it's how you look at it, isn't it? But yeah, there is more scrutiny, that, you know, all social media, you know, people writing about the girls more. I've been a little bit on the commentary side of things as well the last couple of years in the 100. It's almost like if you get injured, you do a bit of commentary, isn't it? But so I kind of see both sides of it.
Yeah, the commentary box is a sort of field hospital, effectively, for injured cricketers.
They were like, oh, you're back again. Like, yeah, it's me again. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so there are downsides. I think that's when you kind of need to stick together as a team and kind of work through these things, because, you know, it's just blown up in the last 5 years. So, yeah, there's obviously downsides to any sort of, you know, anything that's in the limelight of pro sport. But, yeah, I think for me, I just think the whole injury situation kind of puts everything into perspective as well. I think, you know, it's easier said than done, but you try and take a little bit of the pressure off. You just want to get back out there. But yeah, there's definitely downsides to it. But I think the positives of the women's game growing is massively outweighs the negatives, for sure.
Great. Well, I hope your bowling goes well on Monday and beyond. It's very, very nice of you to find time to speak with us. It's time for us to go to Mark Wood's super over.
Oh, yes, I love this.
That's one of the most grueling ordeals that any international cricketer can face.
Right, so the super over. Miles, 90 seconds on the clock.
Okay, Tash, don't think, just speak. Your 90-second starts now.
Would you rather win a game with a wicket, taking a blinding catch, or scoring some vital runs?
Runs.
What's the best way to catch crabs, the sea kind?
Crabbing?
I'll accept it.
It's completely valid.
You've arrived at the match and forgotten your bat. Whose are you borrowing?
The Fear Dunk, please.
Custard or whipped cream?
Custard every day, but hot, not cold.
You're waiting for the kettle to boil and playing some air cricket shots. Which shot are you practicing?
Definitely the reverse sweep.
Who is the most famous contact in your phone?
Gosh, that's a tricky one. I don't know if I know anyone famous. I'm going to say Nat Siver. I feel like she's pretty famous now.
She is famous. Your favourite foreign accent?
Irish.
And you arrive at the crease. What guard are you asking the umpire for?
Leg stump. Clear the front leg.
Oh, I love that. Yes, a little bit of room. By the barest of all margins, Miles.
Big margin, all wrapped up in 75 seconds.
I know, she was amazing. She absolutely smashed it.
The mental work that you've done in your time away with injuries made your decision-making so much clearer, so much crisper.
She's just ready for this session, I wonder.
I know, but I'm a bit, no offence to Nat Siver, but I'm a bit gutted that I couldn't think of anyone a bit more famous.
She's very,
no offense, well,
she is famous. She is famous, though.
I imagine both the John Lewises are going to be feeling a little bit hurt by that. Well, we know that one of them is in the phone number. Yeah, she's very famous, Nat Siver. Because she's tall.
I was thinking like a pop star would be cool, but I couldn't think of anyone.
Well, to be honest, that question has always been a little bit weird since Simon Taufel's answer to that was the Dalai Lama. So
we were like.
Since then, nobody, in fairness, has said anything that's made us go, what? To quite the extent of Taufel dropping that one on us. And cold custard, is it really, is it an absolute no-no for you?
It really gives me the ick, cold custard. I just don't know how anyone does it.
I'm with you there. Like, I would choose custard and it has to be hot.
Oh, I think cold custard for a hangover breakfast. I don't know, perhaps it's not a consideration in international elite sport, perhaps it's not a consideration. But
I think that would send me down the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's very restorative, very restorative. But, I mean, obviously, there are no hangovers in the world of elite sport. Thank you very much indeed for joining us, Tash. Excellent. It's excellent that you're back and raring to go. The animal is about to be uncaged. So I hope it goes really, really well.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much. That was fun.
Thanks, Tash. Best of luck.
Tash Farrant there, very fine bowler. Great fan of her work. And as I can't remember if we mentioned, an ambassador for Step One.
Has anybody mentioned the word ambassador more than what we've mentioned in this episode?
The actors from the Ferrero Rocher adverts, possibly. Ambassador with his chafe-free underpants. You really are spoiling us. Thank you very much indeed for listening to this episode of Middle Please Umpire. So whoever you are out there listening, don't go changing. Although just a reminder for one particular wicketkeeper batsman, dogs must be carried. Goodbye.
Should be taken and is taken. Brilliant from Mark Wood. What a spell this has been.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.